Chapter 20. Christine as he cared now. If he had been younger, he might have felt tempted to descend into the meads instead of keeping along their edge. The Froom was down there, and he knew of quiet pools in that stream to which death would come easily. But he was too old to put an end to himself for such a reason as love, and another thought too, kept him from seriously contemplating any desperate act. His affection for her was strongly protective, and in the event of her acquiring a friend's support in future troubles, there was none but himself left in the world to afford it. So he walked on. Meanwhile, Christine had resigned herself to circumstances. A resolve to continue worthy of her history and of her family lent her heroism and dignity. She called Mrs. Wake, and explained to that worthy woman as much of what had occurred as she deemed necessary. Mrs. Wake was too amazed to reply. She retreated slowly, her lips parted, till at the door she said with a dry mouth, "And the beautiful supper, ma'am? ..." serve it when he comes. ..." when Mr. Belston, "Yes, ma'am, I will." ..." she still stood gazing, as if she could hardly take in the order. "That will do, Mrs. Wake. I am much obliged to you for all your kindness." ..." and Christine was left alone again, and then she wept. She sat down and waited. That awful silence of the stopped clock began anew, but she did not mind it now. She was listening for a footfall in a state of mental tensity which almost took away from her the power of motion. It seemed to her that the natural interval for her husband's journey thither must have expired, but she was not sure, and waited on. Mrs. Wake again came in. "You have not rung for supper, he is not yet come, Mrs. Wake. If you want to go to bed, bring in the supper, and set it on the table. It will be nearly as good cold. Leave the door unbarred." Mrs. Wake did as was suggested, made up the fire, and went away. Shortly afterwards, Christine heard her retire to her chamber. But Christine still sat on, and still her husband postponed his entry. She aroused herself once or twice to freshen the fire, but was ignorant how the night was going. Her watch was upstairs, and she did not make the effort to go up to consult it. In her seat she continued. And still the supper waited, and still he did not come. At length she was so nearly persuaded that the arrival of his things must have been a dream after all, that she again went over to them, felt them, and examined them. His they unquestionably were, and their forwarding by the porter had been quite natural. She sighed and sat down again. Presently she fell into a doze, and when she again became conscious she found that the four candles had burnt into their sockets and gone out. The fire still emitted a feeble shine. Christine did not take the trouble to get more candles, but stirred the fire and sat on. After a long period she heard a creaking of the chamber floor and stairs at the other end of the house, and knew that the farmer's family were getting up. By and by Mrs. Wake entered the room, candle in hand, bouncing open the door in her morning manner, obviously without any expectation of finding a person there. "Lord a mercy! What, sitting here again, ma'am?" "Yes, I am sitting here still." "You've been there ever since last night?" "Yes." "He's not come."
"Well, he won't come at this time o' morning," said the farmer's wife.
"Do ye get on to bed, ma'am. You must be shrammed to death."
It occurred to Christine now that possibly her husband had thought better of obtruding himself upon her company within an hour of revealing his existence to her, and had decided to pay a more formal visit next day. She therefore adopted Mrs. Wake's suggestion and retired. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.